You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Dave here with Casey, and we're the football dudes. Are you ready, brother?
You got that right.
All right, next stop, The Trend Zone. In today's episode, we'll talk about the good hurts in Philadelphia, a couple of more teams clinching the playoffs, Casey, a little Survivor fantasy go-back starts of the week, and some of the most awesome games heading into week 15, Casey. But before we get to all that good stuff, can the people have a nugs from you, sir?
Yeah, dude, I actually have a fat sack full of nugs, man. I'm talking about the Monday Night Football from this week. Oh, it was awesome. AFC North battle. The Ravens beat Cleveland 47-42, Dave. Just a couple numbers from this game.
Yeah.
89 total points, 878 total yards, 369 rushing yards, 9 rushing touchdowns, a 55-yard game-winning field goal, and then a safety on the final play of the game to push that 3-point spread over to 5 and shift potentially millions of bucks. Happy and sad gamblers everywhere, Dave.
As many amazing stats as were on that, Casey, that as soon as that safety happened, I was like, oh boy, some people just lost it.
So brutal, dude.
All right, Case, let's move on to the trending stories for the week. Get it started with this Philadelphia story. The rookie, Jalen Hurts, gets his first start, man.
Yeah, dude, and it was instant energy. You could see it on the team. You could see it on the sideline. He's got these infectious qualities about him, and that was on full display on the field. He got them a huge upset win against the Saints, 24-21. Didn't have the best throwing day, but did have 100 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
But it was just his energy. You could feel it. You could see it, man. So Peterson was a little noncommittal at first, but go ahead and said, he's going to get the start next week.
Yep.
And I'm not sure he's there completely yet as a quarterback, but that Philly needed something to feel good about. And he brought the Hurts, and it left him feeling better with a big W and kept him in the race.
Yeah, there was some talk about the leadership qualities that he brought. I guess there's another guy out there that they might be also kind of talking about at the same time. All right, Casey, now that the vaccine is available for COVID, the NFL is just going to plow their way through, right, and grab them all?
Yeah, you know, the NFL usually does the right move in these big things, and Goodell came out and said it. He's like, no, we're not going to jump the line. My players aren't getting first. We're going to let the vaccine go to those most in need, and that's good news for the NFL. Even though they've plowed through this whole season and done a great job at pretty much keeping it at bay, they are not going to be line jumpers, and they got to commend them for that.
Yeah, let's hope that they can make it through the playoffs, because postponing games in the playoffs is going to be a very tough scenario there. All right, Casey, speaking of playoffs, a couple of teams have cemented their way into this year's postseason tournament.
Yeah, dude, in the NFC, the top two spots, the Green Bay Packers, New Orleans Saints, they both clinch. And right now the Packers would be the one seed if the playoffs started today. What about the AFC, bro?
Yeah, that would be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And similar to the NFC, the one seed was just recently usurped by the two seed, as Kansas City is now the one seed with Pittsburgh on that two-game losing skid. All right, Case, there's another side to the playoffs scenario, and it is the teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs.
You mean the teams on draft watch?
Yeah, the teams who are more interested April.
That's in particularly painful for these Houston Texans, because they are now eliminated, but they do not have a first-round pick. So it's a shame Deshaun Watson's not going to be in the playoff, but he joins your Chargers, the Bengals, the Jags, dang, all these cat teams, and the Jets in the AFC as teams with no chance at going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Casey, interestingly enough, no NFC teams have been eliminated. Fascinating.
Oh, that's crazy. For all the crap teams in the NFC, none to be eliminated, although I think we're going to see a team with the star in their helmet there next week.
You're saying, you know, there's still a chance, Casey. Come on. All right, Case. Speaking of all this quest for the top draft pick, there's a quest for perfection along the way here, too.
Yeah, dude, you might have to just be perfect to get Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Jets are doing it better than anybody else, losing games every way possible. And they're sitting at 0-13, Dave. And I think they can do this, man. Their schedule coming up at our Los Angeles Rams, at the Cleveland Browns, and then hosting the Patriots in week 17, dude. So they have their eyes set on the perfect season.
Wouldn't it be very Belichickian if somehow they were to somehow lose the Patriots to the Jets and then the Jags would end up with pick number one? Just thinking about that makes me kind of interested in looking ahead to week 17. All right, Casey. The NFL is making efforts during this COVID-infested season to play on every single game day of the week. This time, it's some Saturday action, man.
Oh, yeah. These aren't great matchups, but they're NFL games, so you know we'll be watching. You got the Bills at the Broncos and then the Panthers at the Packers. Dave, and Friday is the only day that the NFL hasn't played on yet, but patience, my friend.
Yeah, we're going to get there, man.
That's right. All right,
Case, moving along to the Survivor, in our case, Three Strikes pool. Who did you have last week? How'd you do?
Dave, I went with the formula of picking whoever's playing the Jets. That was the Seahawks, and it was an easy ride start to finish. And shockingly, that was the most popular correct pick last week, too, over 55% of the country on board.
Nice. I went with a similar strategy. It's the who's playing the Jags. I went with Tennessee over Jacksonville. The most popular incorrect pick, though, Casey, last week, that Saints pick over the Eagles that didn't come through. Heading into next week, what are we looking at?
The most popular picks in week 15, the Ravens over the Jags, or just go whoever's playing the Jets. That happens to be our Rams. Easy
right.
Money, baby. Easy money.
All right, Casey, fantasy go back to the starts of the week where we go back in time and what if our way into a better score. How'd you do? Do you got any go backs?
No go backs, Dave. I completely dominated the Hypno Toads. That is a season sweep. I smashed them. It was easy. It didn't matter. I had so many more points than them. But that puts me in a tricky matchup against the Ronnie James Gorilla Sharks this weekend. So that is going to be much tougher.
Yeah. I was on the bye last week, Casey, which makes it all the more interesting that I had my highest score of the year and the second highest score in the league when we weren't crediting points. I didn't have anything available to me. I had used, I had coached them up wisely there and all that. I do have a nuance, though. I am available with a win in all three of my leagues next week to be in all three fantasy bowls. Looking pretty good there, Casey.
Ooh, sexy, sexy, man. Hey, we wanted to remind everybody out there, if you have any holiday shopping to do on Amazon, before you buy, head on over to footballdudes.com, scroll on down, click our Amazon link. It takes you right to Amazon. It won't cost you anything, but it might make us a few bucks that we can buy some presents for our loved ones with. Wouldn't that be sweet?
It would be very sweet, very sweet. Okay, Casey, speaking of sweet, it's some of these awesome games in week 15.
What?
Yeah, week 15, dude. Yeah,
it's slipping away.
It is indeed slipping away, my friend. But we've got some good action, and we're going to get right into it here. Case, we'll get it started with the Seattle Seahawks, the 5 seed. They are favored by 3 heading into Washington to play the FT, the football team, who are currently the 4 seed, over under 44.5.
Wow, so this would be a preview of the wild card weekend.
Potentially.
So we got to get some wins first. Let's talk about these Hawks, man. A win or a tie on Sunday will clinch them a postseason berth for the 8th time in 9 years. And that would also make it 8 out of 9 postseasons for Russell Wilson since he arrived in the NFL. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
And Dave, there's only one quarterback in NFL history who's had a winning record in each of his first 9 seasons.
Who's that?
Danger Russ Wilson, man. This guy is a stud. They say he's falling off the MVP race. I'm not so sure about that. He's got 36 touchdowns. That's breaking his record that he already set with the Seahawks. And after the Giants sacked him 5 times 2 weeks ago, the Jets didn't get to him at all. And that's a much better formula for Russ and company.
Yeah.
Throwing all those touchdowns. He's got 10 of them to DK Metcalf, who's almost at 1,200 yards already. And he's got 17 plays of at least 20 yards. That's the most big plays in the NFL, man. So DK's have just a wonderful season. But nose flying under the radar here, David Moore, dude. He's been a great red zone weapon for the Seahawks. He has 6 TDs on the season, man. So The guy getting left out a little bit here is Tyler Lockett. So
yeah, where's he been?
I know, right? He's not done that well the last few weeks, but don't count him out yet because he can go off at any point. But Chris Carson is back for this team, and he's healthy, bro. And when he is healthy, he's averaging over 5 yards a carry, dude. That run game is definitely heating up. And now it might be penny time. Pete Carroll said Rashard is going to practice this week as if he's practicing to play a game, man. That gives him another home run threat there, man. Yep. He's been a huge weapon. They got to get back on the field. And, Dave, I've talked about the boom 2.0. They've looked good. They've looked bad. They've looked good. They're starting to put it together, though, dude. And even though it was just the Jets last week, I know it's only the Jets. The Seahawks did not give up a touchdown last week. That's impressive no matter who you're lining up against in an NFL game. And in their last 5 games, Dave, giving up just over 16 points a game. That's down from over 30 points in their first 8 games. So they're starting to figure some stuff out there. 8.5 sacks by Jamal Adams this season, traded from the Jets, dude. And he's missed 4 games already, man. Mm-hmm. He is blowing it up from the secondary. Speaking of sacks, they're going to get Carlos Dunlap back in this one. He sat out last week because it was the Jets, so they didn't need him. But he says he's going to play this weekend. And they might be getting defensive end DeMontre Moore back soon, too. Just another more beef up front there. They're getting healthy on both sides of the ball, dude. Starting to get all their pieces back in place. They have a chance to win the West with a huge game against the Rams the following week. But, Dave, they cannot look past this football team.
No doubt about it. You cannot look past this football team because they have won 4 in a row since Alex Smith has been the starter, dude. So coming off a big win at San Francisco last week, obviously Alex Smith did get banged up with that little calf tightness, but they were saying basically he was held out due to an abundance of caution that he could have conceivably gone back in, but they decided to hold him back, and they're looking to just rest him a little bit, and he looks like he'll be on target for this week. But this team has played exceptionally well ever since Alex Smith has been inserted into the lineup. And Terry McLaurin, dude, has really emerged as an incredible playmaker in this league. He just passed over 1,000 yards receiving, and he's kind of like a one-man show out there. I mean, they've got other dudes and stuff, but nobody else is really putting together anything consistent. Logan Thomas at the tight end position, though, has been a very effective weapon for these guys. Running the football, Casey, Antonio Gibson's the guy that kind of emerged this year. The rookie ranks 3rd in the NFL with 11 rush TDs on the season, so unfortunately, wow, he hasn't practiced due to that turf toe issue this whole week. So not so sure if Gibson is going to be able to go in this game. If so, and it looks kind of like it's leaning towards him not playing, then it'll be McKissick and Peyton Barber again. McKissick is coming off a really nice game with 86 yards last week from scrimmage. And he has 58 grabs on the season, so he's really a good guy out of the backfield, too. I like that a lot for Alex Smith.
We got to get a better name for the turf toe, Dave. We got to put it upon ourselves to get a better name for
it. It doesn't sound very, very painful, but we know, in fact, it is. Yeah. Right?
Got a little Sergeant Hulk there. Oh, he can't play. Okay.
Exactly. And look for Peyton Barber to be more of the brute force kind of guy down in the goal line scenarios, short yardage situations. But overall, man, they're going to miss Antonio Gibson because what he's been bringing for them this year has been really, really exciting. Defensively, though, if you want to talk about exciting, and we saw last week what they were able to do defensively, very, very strong. The real exceptional unit in all of the NFC East, I've been saying for a while, is this defensive front for the Washington football team. They're overall fourth in yards per game, sixth in points per game, fourth in sacks with 40 sacks, and sixth in third down conversions, third best defense in the red zone. I mean, it's just a pretty solid defense across the board. They in the last four games that they've won, they've forced eight turnovers in that time period. So they're really creating things on the defense. And obviously, we saw that last week with Chase Young. He had a sack, a forced fumble, and a 47-yard fumble return for a touchdown.
Is that good?
That's really good, Casey. And not to mention safety Cameron Curl with a 76-yard interception for a TD last week as well. So defense really, really getting it done for this Washington football team. And they may really look to get the pass game going. I know you're talking about that defense for the Seahawks improving a bit, but they have given up the most passing yards in the NFL, and that bodes well if Washington is able to protect Alex Smith and get the ball out of his hands quickly and avoid that pass rush, they should find some success there. This Washington team is in position to sort of run the table and maintain that four seed, which would be a remarkable finish to a season where you never knew what was going to happen in that division. But this would be a huge, huge win, and obviously it's a tough opponent. After this, they got Carolina and at Philly. I think two more winnable games in this one, but you don't want to be screwing around. If they can get this one, it would be huge for them.
And Dave, I'm impressed. I think this is the first week you went through without calling them the Redskins once, man. Kudos, my brother. Kudos.
Redskins!
Keep the streak alive. All right, Dave, we got a bird battle coming up. Not only a bird battle, a battle of Oklahoma University quarterbacks. We got the Philadelphia Eagles at the Arizona Cardinals. And the Cardinals are 7-point favorites at home with an under over a 49.5.
Whew, I'll tell you what, this Eagles squad, obviously a lot of people had them positioned to win the NFC East, then not so much. Right now, they need to do some really good things, and it could really – I mean, obviously it would start with this game here. If they could get this win, it would be huge. They're coming off that enormous win, though, against New Orleans, and a really, really good defense in New Orleans, and it was an impressive performance, obviously, by Jalen Hurts. But at 4-8-1, they're still somehow in it, even though they're a game and a half back in the NFC East. After this, they have Dallas and Washington, so very winnable. If they can somehow get this game, they'd be in great shape to make the playoffs. But this whole year has been defined for the Eagles by tons and tons of injuries. That's certainly the offensive line, and that's resulted in a ton of pressure on the quarterback. Wentz was benched because he's a turnover machine, and he wasn't handling it well. And that led to second-round pick Jalen Hurts getting in there. And the team, you mentioned it, Case, gave the team a huge spark, really.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't just I guess it was his energy, but it was his running, his playmaking, his leadership. It was a nice combination of things. And they played a lot better with him at the quarterback.
Totally, dude. When this guy transferred to Oklahoma, he became a captain right away. And that usually doesn't happen, but the team responded. They saw the way he worked. They saw the effort he was putting in. And that's infectious, dude, and the guys believe in him, man.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody upped their game, or he made them better. However it worked, it worked. And Jalen Hurts had a fantastic football game. Like you said, the stats weren't amazing in the passing game for him, just an 83.6 rating, 167 yards and a TD passing. But the 106 yards on the ground, really dynamic. I mean, how often is it that you have 200-yard rushers in a game? And obviously one of them's your quarterback. Pretty impressive. At wide receiver, this has been, just the injury story there. We've had Fulgham and Rager, and Greg Ward is leading the team in receptions. Alshon Jeffery had been injured most of the season, but he got back and got a touchdown last week. So maybe they're getting some, they're finding some health there and some combination of guys that can contribute to them. Both Ertz and Goddard have been banged up a lot on and off this year, but now they're both healthy, hopefully looking to contribute there. Miles Sanders, dude, has had a really, really strong season, and he had 136 yards and two touchdowns, including that 82-yarder. Pretty impressive. So Sanders, a huge part of this success, and if they're going to make a push, they're going to need Sanders to really, really carry the load, man. Defensively, they're just basically statistically average. In fact, they're fifth worst in takeaways with just 13 takeaways on the season. They're not a very good red zone defense either. They do have some good players. Fletcher Cox with a sack last week. Josh Sweat had two sacks and a forced fumble. So they can get plays. That's the thing. They can make plays defensively. But yeah, they're going to have their hands full this week, Casey, playing that Arizona squad.
Yeah, speaking of defense, Dave, the word from the bird is that Buda Baker gave a pregame speech after the Cardinals' three-game losing streak, and it seemed to work. I'm going to start with the defense because they really brought it last week. They came out and dominated the Gigante, sacking their quarterbacks eight times, five from Hassan Reddick, the Jersey native and former Temple Owl, setting a franchise record with those five sacks. He also had three forced fumbles in that game. And Dennis Gardeck, dude, he had two sacks. Now, five on the season, he's averaging a sack every 13.8 snaps. That's pretty good, Dave, and you might not know this, but Gardeck is the Klingon word for sack machine. Gardeck!
Hey, wow. I recognize that one.
Yeah, right? Vance Joseph D was great all game. Only 58 yards allowed in the first half and only 159 for the whole game. So Zona fans hoping that's a sign of things to come. And last week, Dave, we talked about the lack of the run game by Kyler in that three-game losing streak. He only ran for 13 times for 47 yards last week, but the Cardinals are 7-1. When he rushes for 10 times, he did that last week, and they got the W. And that was enough help to get that run game, crushing the fourth-rate run defense for 159 yards last week. That is a good formula for the Cardinals, man.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Hopkins last week, pretty good. 9 for 136. That's his sixth 100-yard game of the year. He's third in the NFL in receptions and receiving yards, but they have to find some production from someone else, whether it's Fitz, Isabella, or Kirk. That's another Star Trek reference. Get hip, you nerds. But luckily for the Cardinals, Dan Arnold has been coming on. Three touchdowns in his last two games there, Dave.
Yeah, I know. Dan out of nowhere.
So this is a huge game, man. The winner is still feeling good about themselves, especially Cardinals. But neither team can afford a loss right here, man. I'm looking forward to this one, bro.
No doubt about it. All right, another one, Casey, that I think we're both looking forward to is these Kansas City Chiefs at the New Orleans Saints. Wow, what a big game. It's the one seed in the AFC versus the two seed in the NFC. Chiefs on the road in this one are favored by 3 with the over-under set at 51.5. And since 2018, no team has had a better record than the Chiefs and Saints, who have each gone 36-9.
Wow, that's pretty good.
36-9, man. Strong record.
Dave, what if I told you the team was going to start the game with two interceptions and a 30-yard sack on two of their first three possessions, and they were going to be down by 10 points?
I would ask if it was the Chiefs, because if it was the Chiefs, I'd say, who cares?
Yeah, they don't give a – Dave, it's just – it's good to be the Chiefs, man. One of their crappiest games of the year, throwing a punt return for a touchdown and a safety, and it's just another easy win. You know why? Because they have the number one offense in the league. They're averaging 31 points a game. Mm. And shockingly, this team is the 11th best run attack in the NFL, too. So they do it everywhere, but it's all about Patrick Mahomes, dude. He has he has 2,309 yards in his last six games. That's the most in NFL history over a six-game span. Damn. And he's also the only quarterback in the Super Bowl era with a winning record in the NFL when he's down by double digits, man. This guy is a sick freak, and he's going to be that way for a long time. Another sick freak, dude, Travis Kelce, 8 grabs for 136 and a touchdown last week. His sixth straight game with 8-plus receptions, Moonbase 8. Dave, coincidence? I think not, bro. That's the mojo there, and that was his fifth 100-yard game in his last six. He's leading the NFL in receiving yards and is now top 1,200 yards in each of his last three seasons. And he's just 127 yards shy of the all-time season single-season receiving record by a tight end, and he's got three games to go. Guess who Reed is going to feed besides all those cheeseburgers to himself?
Yeah,
exactly. It's Travis Kelce. And Dave, can you think of any other Chiefs receivers just kicking total ass?
It might be Tyreek Hill, like also very, very high on that list of receiving yards for the season.
Yeah, dude, he had 111 total yards and two TDs on just four touches last week, bro.
Jeez.
This guy's a sick freak. That was his sixth. Those were his 15th and 16th TDs of the season. And it was the 44-yarder was his 26th career touchdown of at least 40 yards, dude. He's been in the NFL since 2016. He's got the most, and he's got 16 more than the dude in second place, man. This guy can score from anywhere on the field, Dave. On defense, throwing 24 sacks, 15 interceptions, 5 fumbles. That's how you get to 12-1. And that win last week, that set them up for home field advantage throughout. Even if they didn't have it, they're 10-0 in their last 10 road games, Dave.
From
AFC West? No, that's 5 straight AFC West title. And in that time, they are 26-3 in the division.
All right.
It's good to be the Chiefs.
It is. It's bad to be in the Chiefs division. All right, Casey. Let's talk about this Saints squad who have been treading water without Drew Brees in there until last week when they took a loss at Philadelphia. Their offense, though, still 7th in points per game, so it's pretty strong offensively. Taysom Hill has played very well, actually, even though they did come up with the loss last week, the first one, including last year when Breezer was out, and this year they hadn't lost a game without Breeze. But his quarterback rating is 98.7, so it's not that bad. It's just they don't use him, obviously, in the passing game as much, but over 72% completions on the season. So that's pretty strong right there, you know. And he passed for 291 yards and 2 touchdowns last week for 102 quarterback rating. So even though, again, despite the loss, that he did have a very nice statistical performance, but they just didn't get it going soon enough there. Michael Thomas, he had 8 catches and 84 yards last week. Emmanuel Sanders, his 4th touchdown of the season last week as well. And Jared Cook also grabbed a touchdown. They spread it around really good. Taysom Hill hit a ton of different dudes, but didn't end up coming away with the W when it came down to it at the end. Speaking of different guys he hit, how about Alvin Kamara, who is an awesome receiver out of the backfield? 7 receptions last week, tacked in with his 94 scrimmage yards. So he also had a run TD, and he leads the team, actually, with 77 receptions, and he has almost 700 yards receiving. So a really, really legitimate weapon out of the backfield there. Defensively speaking, this was a really, really amazing defense that somehow came up short last week in their performance. But overall, 2nd in yards per game, 4th versus the pass, 2nd versus the run, 4th in points per game at just over 20 points a game given up. They're 10th on third down, 7th in sacks with 36 sacks. So really, overall, very, very well-rounded, strong defense, which is a good sign heading into the playoffs. One thing they're not as good on is the red zone defense. Of course, they did get kind of worked over by that run threat QB in his first start last week. Now they go against Kyler Murray, one of the best running quarterbacks in the league, who can throw it pretty well too. So it's going to be another challenge for this Saints squad, but they need to regroup, and I think they'll be up for it.
Man, that is going to be a big game, dude. Also a Super Bowl preview, perhaps.
Nice. That is a good point, Casey. All right. Up next, we have the Cleveland Browns at the New York Giants. The Browns on the road, favored by 4 in this one, over under 45.
Dude, this is such a critical game for both of these teams.
Yep.
The key will be not turning the ball over, something the Browns have been very good at lately, especially Baker. That pick he threw on Monday night was his first since week 7. And in his last 3 games, 72 of 109. 935 yards and 8 touchdowns to just that one interception, dude. And 6 different players on those 8 touchdown throws. That's pretty good. And in back-to-back games, he's had 3 different receivers with at least 60 or more yards. So he's seeing the field. He's making good decisions. He's going through his progressions. He's mm-hmm. making the right call there. That being said, I think the Browns got a little too cute on Monday Night Football. They threw a little more than they needed to. Only 28 rushes on 76 total offensive plays, dude.
They can run the ball. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Nick Chubb, dude, he's averaging almost 6 yards a carry, 5.9 per carry, and 98 yards a game. Dude, you got to feed this guy, man.
Yeah.
Nice one, too, punch with Kareem Hunt. I said, I know you don't throw too much, but he's got 5 receiving touchdowns. That leads running backs. But get to that run game, dude. Also, last Monday night, the 5th game this season, Cleveland's opponent has gone without a sack. The Browns are tied for 5th in the NFL for fewest sacks. They've only allowed 17. Last year, they surrendered 41. So that tells you the improvement that Stefanski has made with that offensive line.
Big
time. How important is that, dude? Every team in the top 9 and fewest sacks allowed would be in the playoffs if they started today. Protect your quarterback and good stuff happens. But there was a lot to like in that loss. On Monday night, Baker had 343 passing yards against a top-ranked defense in the NFL. They had 4 rushing touchdowns as a team. They came back from 2 late deficits, so they're doing a lot great there on offense. The defense, they shine in spurts, but they're giving up over 28 points a game. It's just not good enough. Now safety Andrews and Deho, he got a concussion in Monday night's game in the second half. He might not be able to go on a short week, and they're already thin at the secondary. No Ronnie Harrison Jr., so they desperately need to get Denzel Ward back, and they hope to have him on Sunday. They get to the quarterback pretty well, 34 sacks on the season. Next week, dude, they need Myles Garrett to do what he does, dude. 10.5 sacks on the season, 13.5 tackles for loss. Dimebag Danny is a turnover machine, so Miles just has to get there and force some fumbles and bad throws, man. And as a unit, they forced 20 turnovers on the season. They got to add to that total on Sunday. We all keep waiting for them to fall off and be the Browns that they've always been, but I want to see them be the Browns that they can be, dude. That fan base deserves it so much, man. I saw the heartache of some of those guys in the stands on Monday night.
Yep.
The Browns deserve it, dude. They have most of the pieces in place to make a deep run, but they have to get there first. And Sunday is a huge step in making that happen. Get this dub, Brownies. Come on now.
No doubt about it. That was a big loss, though, for them, even though they showed well against that neighborhood bully, the Ravens. They still haven't gotten over that hump yet, Casey, but I like what you're saying. Their chances moving into this playoffs, if they can get in them, they look like they could be a threat. Let's get over to this matchup, though, Casey. It's the New York Giants, and they're really in need of a win. Obviously, they started off the season real rough at 0-5, but they had won 4 in a row to get back in it before losing last week in a very unimpressive performance versus Arizona. Daniel Jones had the bad hammy, came back, wasn't really moving around that well, and running the football is a huge element to his game. He's got over 400 yards rushing on the season, so he's one of the better running quarterbacks in the league. That kind of makes him much more diverse or whatever, because he's only got 8 touchdowns to 9 picks on the season. You mentioned it. He's quite honestly a turnover machine. So he's got to find a way to stay, to not lose the possession of the football, whether it's a fumble or a pick. And they got to find a way to protect him back there a little bit, so he's not under total duress. Leading the team in receptions is tight end Evan Engram, just over 500 yards on the season, but just 1 touchdown. So really not the scoring output to go with a pretty decent yardage output. And then they've had Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Darius Slayton injured in and out all season long. They're all relatively healthy right now, so that's a good sign heading into this game. They've had a lot of injuries, as we know, obviously at running back. Losing Saquon early in the season kind of derailed their entire deal. But Gallman has really emerged, and that has been a bright spot for this squad, and that will be a good thing moving forward no matter what happens this year. He had 73 yards last week, 6 touchdowns on the season, and he really didn't play until about seven games ago, really, where he got called up and was really the guy that started getting a lot of touches. Deion Lewis also had a score last week. So they're going to need to find some contributions from some dudes who haven't contributed on a consistent basis lately and put it all together if they're going to make a good, legitimate run at the NFC East and a playoff position. Defensively, though, they are pretty strong, and that's obviously the good thing about this squad. They're 11th in points, or 11th in yards, 10th in points, and 7th against the run. So they're pretty good. Overall, defensively, they got 33 sacks on the season, and they've got 20 takeaways. Unfortunately, they've turned the ball over 20 times on the offensive side, so they're at a turnover ratio of 0. But as long as they don't lose the turnover battle, I think they'll be, you know, in the football game here. And they do have a really, really good red zone defense. So when they get down there close, it's really tough to score on them. They're one of the best in the NFL at keeping teams out of the end zone. This is a huge game, obviously, because next week they're at Baltimore. Then that last week they're going to be versus the Cowboys, obviously, in a division situation. But here's the good news, Casey. If they can find a way to end up tied with Washington, they swept they swept the FTs, man, this season. And all they need to do is get up there tied with them, and they can get all of a sudden the division will be theirs. So that's something that could motivate them. Like, man, we're not that far away from winning this division. And then who knows what happens? The Giants have snuck into the playoffs before and found their way advancing all the way to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that's going to happen, Casey, but you never know. It's the NFL.
Oh, dude. And you know, when I was watching that game on Monday night, I was like, I'm almost glad that the Cowboys aren't going to be in the playoffs, because there is going to be heartbreaking losses like we've never seen before, man. This season has been so bonkers that it is going to be brutal. But, you know, whoever wins this game is going to, you know, keep that dream alive at least for a week.
Yeah, no question. It's a huge game. No question. So many big games this weekend, Casey, and so many big games heading towards the end of the season here. It's going to be awesome to see it how it all unfolds. Casey, so many ways you can check out the Football Dudes, available for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and while you're itching for subscriptions, subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram and Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA.
All right, or just head on over to FootballDudes.com. It's all there for you. That is going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. He's Casey, I'm Dave, and we are out of here.